Good evening. I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm truly thankful to be here. And I was going to give Jim a bad time about that, but that's all right. We do serve an awesome God. And I'm thankful to be here. Let's turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter. I'm going to start in the 31st verse. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, I think about Peter, because in a lot of ways I feel that my relationship with my God started out that way. I didn't really understand, and I'm sure neither did you, when you started out, that relationship with God or Christ actually grows if we allow it. Do you think they knew what was ahead of them? No. And neither did I. How do we progress? And I think about Peter and Paul mainly because they had changes in their lives, and we have these writings to show us that. In Luke 22, 31st and the 32nd verse, And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, he knew the weaknesses that he had. And he knows our weaknesses. You know, we are transformed if we allow the Lord to work with us. And without the Lord's help, we're done. Because the Lord had to pray for Peter. It's not that difficult to understand that this is not something that we just do on our own. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And you know, this is one of my most favorite scriptures. Because it gives me hope and it also gives me a solution. And I'm going to start in the last part of the second verse. And I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that last part really hits home to me. Because if I'm obedient in everything and every thought, because that is where our warfare is in our minds. You know, I heard a friend of mine one time, and I preach about a billboard. You know, how offensive it was, what was on that billboard. And you know, the thing that gets me is that it is just a thing. You know, there is always going to be sin in the world. The victory is overcoming that it is not ours, that it is not something that makes us look at that thing and say, well, it'll always be there. It will always be there. But how we look at it is that it has no power over us. It has no power over us. It's just a thing. But this is my personal relationship with God. Now, I want to go a little bit further. That's not what he's looking for. It's how we grow at work. It's how we grow at church. It's how we grow at home. How he changes our lives. And how do we? By the people that he puts in our lives. By the Forrest Maileys. By the Doris Sheldons, by every one of you. That's what changes our lives. The love that we share with one another. Not to point the finger and say, well, you've sinned. You know, in Sunday school this morning we talked about, and it was the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians about judgment. And I look at it as, you know, we judge the sin, not the person. Because it says you never know what they will repent and come as. And I believe that, and I believe that very strongly, because if I didn't believe that, I might not be here today, because people look at us as, when we first start this journey, as unworthy for the kingdom. My brother Joel in this spring, preached the sermon, the conference. He brought up a very good point. He had from 90-year-olds to little children. And you know, each one of us is at a different point in our lives, spiritually. How we look at things, how we think about things, and how we have that relationship with our Lord and Savior. And not only that, our relationship with one another. You know, I look at things a little bit differently, maybe, because I have seen the growth in my own life spiritually. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you that has helped me grow. You know, my sister Margaret, before we picked a new pastor, she said that she was gonna vote me in. And I was scared to death. I really was. I was scared to death. But you know, the one thing that I thought about that, and I'm so thankful that you didn't nominate me, I really am. Because it wouldn't have been wisdom. It wouldn't have been wisdom. But, you know, to say yes, no matter what the job is, and I think about the jobs that I have had, that I've become a boss, or because people give you more and more and more responsibility. You know, I volunteered to do this tonight. My wife said to me, she says, what is wrong with you? You know, there's nothing like ODing on stupid. But, you know, I am scared to death when I stand up here. And I need to get over that. And so I need to depend on my God to do that. I am. I'm scared to death up here. And I have to rely on Him. And as should we all. But I thought about that. I thought, all right, Lord, if you want me to do that job, I would do that job. Because, and I'm sure my brother Jim would tell you the same thing, that being in an awkward situation or an uncomfortable situation, people would say to you, well, do you think you can do that job? I'd say, no, but I'd give it my best shot. You know, our brother Alvin had 26 years, or 24, sorry, someone corrected me. And the thing is, you know, he didn't start out knowing at all. You know, we fall flat on our face. The thing is that I want to tell you is that when we fall down as Christians, that one of us there is going to be there to help us get back up. When you're too tired to get back up, come on, you got to get back up. That's what we need. It's not, well, stay down there. You know, that's the special thing about you as my family, to help me get back up, and for me to help you get back up. Make no mistakes, brothers and sisters, we all fall. We all fall. You know, I am really thankful that. And I can honestly say, I said to my sister Debbie down there at lunch today, you know, and I probably am an orphan, you know, but I truly do think of you as my brothers and sisters. And I hope you feel the same way towards me. You know, that special bond that Christ is right there with us. And you know, we have to grow. And the apostles tell me that their journey wasn't much different than ours. Sure, Peter denied him. Would you say that was not an apostle of Christ? At that point, maybe. You know, it's the journey that he's interested in. And just like our brothers and our sisters that have gone on before us, you know, they get to that point, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then, you know, well, someone else has got to step up to the plate. Oh, I've never done that job before. I don't think I can do that. Well, you can't unless you give it a try. Unless you give it a try. You know, you can never afford that luxury of being content where you are. That's one thing that you just can't afford. And that's why I stand here before you. Second Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which shall soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I know I joke with a lot of you people. You know, I do. I love you guys. You are my family. You know, and I kind of missed a scripture, and I'm sorry. 212 in the Book of Mormon, Messiah. It's probably past the point, but anyway, verse 53 and 54. I say unto you that if ye should serve him who has created you from the beginning and hath preserved you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. It's how you touch one another's lives. You know, we could go and live on a deserted island and have no contact with anyone else and say that we were followers of Christ. That's not what he's interested in. He wants you to grow as much as me. And how? By one another. You are an intricate part of that growth process. An intricate part. You know, even the weak things of the body, you know, are so important. You know, and we learn by example. You know, I myself, I say, you know, I don't want to do that again. You know, those are the things that change our lives. It's not the humps that we learn or grow in. It's the holes. Because in that, we need Christ. You know, but I, for myself, I need him every day. I want him in my life. I want to grow close to him. And you know, and I was really close to him at one point in my life. And I want to get back there. I see how the gospel affects me at my work, at church, at home. And you know, look, sometimes I do a lousy job at teaching that gospel. Probably especially at home. And that's where maybe I fall down. But just like the apostles, I keep getting back up. I keep hanging in there. Because it is our weaknesses that he's interested in. Because in those weaknesses, we depend on him. John 21. And in the third verse, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. You know, after Christ was crucified, he said, well, that was good and done. You know, guess that's the end of that. He went fishing. After all those things, and you know, it was no different for the Israelites. You know, they'd walked through on dry ground, walked through the sea. They'd been led by a pillar of fire and a cloud, you know, and they still wanted to go back into bondage. He didn't understand. And if you read this whole chapter, because I know that we're almost out of time, if you read this whole chapter, you see that this was where he was truly converted. Because Christ had said to him, "Lovest thou more than these?" He asked him three times and he was grieved because he knew he was pricked in the heart what he had done. You know, we really do serve an awesome God. You know, if you knew me before, I don't know what you'd think. I don't really care anymore anyway. I'm thankful that the Lord has changed my life. And I hope that He changes your lives just as much as He changed mine. And I got that wrote down, what I said earlier on, that I didn't do a very good job on. Sin will always be around us. The victory is in when it has no power over us. And I hope and I pray that it has no power over you. And I am thankful and I praise God for each and every one of you. Thank you. Yeah, 30 minutes.
It was 30 minutes well spent, I believe, too. Let's use number 325 for our closing song.
Thank you.
prayers with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee at the end of this short service, we wish to give praise and honor and glory unto Thee and thank Thee for the reminders that You've given us that we are to endeavor to do the very best that we can with the time that You've provided, that we're not to become discouraged or distraught, but endeavor daily, moment by moment, to serve You. Pray that You go with us as we depart, that You bless those that are sick and afflicted, that You give us the words to speak, of sources of encouragement to others, whether it be the ones who are mourning for the loss of loved ones, or it be those who are at the moment discouraged themselves, that they would be find reason to gather their strengths together and move on once again, serving You with all the energy of their soul. These things I ask in Christ's name, amen.